மாலாசுதாம் கும்ப விபோத முத்ர வித்யாவிராஜத கரவாரி ஜாதாம் அபார காருண்ய சுதாம்புராஷிம் ஸ்ரீ சாரதாம்பா பிரணதோஸ்மி நித்யம் சீக்கிங் த பெனடிக்ஷன் ஆஃப் ஜெகன்மாதா சாரதா பரமேஸ்வரி தட் ரெபாசிட்டரி ஆஃப் ஆல் தட் இஸ் கல்ச்சர் நாலேஜ் ட்ரெடிஷன் விஸ்டம் ஆர்ட் லேர்னிங் அண்ட் ஃபைன் ஆர்ட் ஐ போ டு ஹர் ஆஸ் ஐ கமென்ஸ் மை அட்ரஸ் டுடே. இட் கிவ்ஸ் மீ கிரேட் பிளஷர் டு வெல்கம் யூ ஆல் டு திஸ் இனாகுரல் ஃபங்க்ஷன் of the 3-day festival Vanamahotsavam exhibition on forests organized between today and the 21st of this month by the SIS High School as part of its activities. Every 2 years, the school organizes a mega exhibition on the elements of nature, the Panchabhutas as they are being referred to, which are interlinked, which are essential for even living. They are interdependent as well. And this journey started on the 29th of November 2012 when the exhibition on water, Jalameva Jeevanam, was inaugurated. The success of Jalameva Jeevanam prompted the school to move on to mountains, and on the 22nd of January 2014, between that date and 24th of January, the school held an exhibition on Mountains Giri Mahotsavam. Today, it is the turn of forests. The uniqueness of Indian culture is that we worship the elements of nature, and by extension, we worship all that is related to it, like rivers, mountains, forests. We give the names that we had coined and given to these elements of nature to our children as well. Such is the intensity of devotion that we have towards nature that it graduates from an ordinary worship to a Maha Utsav, a very big celebration, and that is why it's called as Mahotsav, Vana Mahotsav, as far as forest exhibition is concerned. And that's what we are celebrating today. What is a forest? A simple dictionary meaning of forest is a stretch of land or a tract of land which is filled with trees, underbrushes, and therefore, in short, a wooden tract of land. Forests derive their definition in several ways. It can be based on the vegetation, the type of the growth that takes place in the soil that houses the forest. It can be based on area, the amount of space that the forest occupies, or there can be a legal infirmity, a process of law, by a fiction of law, the force of legislature that gives a definition to forests. The Indian Forest Conservation Act of 1980 defines a forest as any land registered in the records of the government or any other authority acting under or under the direction of the government as a forest land, no matter whether there is any vegetation or not. So it does not depend on vegetation as far as definition of forest in India is concerned. In Philippines, any untitled land with a slope of over 18 degrees, 18% to be precise from the ground, is a forest. The European Commission defines forest as one with a canopy closure of 20%. That means there is a separation from the sky to the earth to the extent of 20% of the tract of land. And when it comes to the Mediterranean, the same definition is carried, albeit with a reduced cover, which is 10% of canopy closure, but with specification of land being a minimum of 0.5 hectares. So land carries its title and definition through various ways, the way they have been described by me just now. Forests are the most interesting ecological system. A system that provides buffer to the earth and supports myriads of life organisms all over the world. Forests basically are the ones which provide livelihood to human beings. 1.6 billion people all over the globe depend on forests directly or indirectly. 300 million people live in the forests. 75% of the fresh water that the world gets for its habitation for people which are inhabiting the globe is drawn from forests. A single source of Amazon basin gives you 1/5 of that fresh water, that is 20%. Forests are oxygen factories of the world. To produce 1 pound of wood by a tree, it takes in 1.47 pounds of carbon dioxide and emits out that life elixir 1.07 pounds of oxygen. So, forests are life for us. Forests are the air-conditioned system of the world. They are the lungs of this planet. If ever you were to map the entire universe to find one of the most compassionate entity, organism, or whatever description you want to give it, animate or otherwise, it can only be for us. Unlimited compassion and kindness is the hallmark of for us. To the extent that even the axeman who comes to destroy the forest provides shade to him. And the crowbar or the axle that he uses, the handle again is wood provided by the forest. Forests are living examples of compassion. For the matter, nature is the best exemplar of giving. Giving is living. I don't think there is any life without giving. Whatever it be, animals, plants, human beings, the best exemplar is nature. Pibandina nadya swayameva nabba swayam nakadanti falani vriksha naham kalu varivaha paropakaraya sadam vibhutayaha. Rivers do not drink the water that they produce. The trees do not take away the fruit that they bear. The clouds do not take away the seeds that they rear from where rain comes. The wealth of the noble is for the benefit of all. That essence of life is drawn from nature and more principally from the forest. 31% of the world's landmass is the forest cover. Brazil and Russia are the two major nations in the world which account for a substantial portion of the forests of the world. The polar region and the Latin American region, when it comes to continents, provide those dense forests that the world is proud of. Suriname in Latin America has got a forest cover of 90.2%. A country where 90% is forest, only 10% is living. Closer home, Seychelles in the Indian Ocean, the archipelago Indian Ocean, has got a forest cover of 89.4%. And if you want to go still closer, when you come to Qatar in the Middle East, it has 0% forest cover. All are land. So totally land. India has a forest cover of 24.85%, which is far lower than the mean average of 31% that we claim for the world. Slightly over 7 lakh square meters of landmass is covered by forests. Despite the fact that this is too small, yet there is deprivation of landmass for forests and degradation of forests is taking place at a very, very rapid pace. And there is nothing that is being done to protect these forests. And you find sooner or later that this country will be deprived of that oxygen that keeps this nation alive. We depend on forests, and yet we know very little about forests than we ought to know. To most of us, forests are economic powerhouses that provide wood for construction, for houses, wood chips for making paper, and wood for all other activities for which you take it. To a tourist, a forest is all vistas of mountains, valleys, rivers that go across them. Science, my dear friends, is essentially search for discovery, let loose in a planet where very little is known. It is this minimal knowledge of the entire earth that we are suffering from today that makes us believe that there is need for public education to be expanded to understand nature, the full gamut of nature. Therefore, we can be in a position to preserve it, protect it, perpetuate it, and transfer it down to the next generation. How we deal with forests is itself a reflection, a manifestation of how we deal with ourselves or with others, as she said at the beginning, giving the comment to Mahatma Gandhi. How true it is. And when we look at a nation like this, a nation which contributes to 18% of the world's population, a one that gives 15% of the cattle stock of the world, but occupies only 2% of the landmass that the entire world has got. It contributes to 0.08% of the world GDP, and yet, when we have long, long way to go, we seem to be working overnight to bring down this cover. So there is need, an urgent need, for us to see that the elements of nature are protected. The devastation, the destruction that we are seeing all around, every year sees a new fury of the nature, countless lives are lost, lessons are never learned. The greatest lesson from history, says Adolf Huxley, is that we do not learn from history. The fact that we do not learn from an incident aggravates the next incident and brings us to greater grief than it is before. This is a country where 80 crore of the population is less than 35 years of age. They are the shapers of the destiny of this nation. They are the creators of India of the 21st century and even far beyond. They are the people who will take this nation to its rightful place amongst the committee of nations. In sensitizing them, we will be taking the cause forward. And that is the reason why young uninitiated minds are being taken and put and impregnated into them the thought that nature is very important, nature is to be preserved, nature is to be protected. And once we do that, it takes us forward as far as the conservation is concerned. The Vana Mahotsav is an exercise in public education, a public education of young minds, uninitiated ones, as I said, the ones which will see, grasp, understand, absorb, and then take it forward, because they don't need anyone else to lead the march for themselves. They don't need leaders. By themselves, they'll be able to take this brigade forward. And that is the purpose of Vana Mahotsav that we have today. This is a life mission. It is not a mission for a day or two, that we have one exhibition and believe that all the steps have been taken. The whole tragedy with humankind is that we always look for things which we do not have and yearn for things which we have lost. When the summer comes, we start looking for monsoon. A little of monsoon, we are tired of monsoon, and then we say, when will winter come? And when winter comes, we look around for spring. So the message is clear, that we look for things which we do not take care when they were with us. Weather is the best example for us. And therefore equally true, when the best of nature blossoms and blooms for you, you do not take care and then expect spring to come to you all through your life. There is need for optimism that the world will take care of itself. That's why P.B. Shelley said, "O wind, if winter is around, can spring be far behind?" But mere optimism by itself will not be the answer. The whole problem with humankind is that we resign ourselves to fate. Rather, if we can shape our own destiny by the force of our actions and more power that we impregnate into the thought process which takes us to that action, this world will be a better place to live. The actions of today shape the destiny of tomorrow, said Swami Chimyanand, whose centenary is being celebrated this very same week. The week that we are celebrating Vana Mahotsav, we are also celebrating 100 years of Swami Chimyanand. And this is exactly what he said. There have been countless champions of nature and forests in particular all across the globe. There have been shining stars in the horizons of this country also, who have demonstrated convincingly, dissolved all those nepotism of the ordinary folk, that one man can make a difference. One hand is good enough to make a difference. You don't need an army to take a message forward. And two such shining stars are with us today. Jada Payang comes to us from Jorhat. Abdul Karim comes to us from Kasaragod, Kerala. Both of them, when you see their presentation, will be able to believe that it is possible that such things can be done. The whole problem with urban living is that we are submerged into our own day-to-day course that we don't believe that there are people beyond us who shine far, far better than us. However symbolic it may appear to be when we honor them today with the title Vana Samrakshana Samrat, as the supreme emperors who have saved this, that might be symbolic. But I think it is a step forward to create more such people amongst the crowd which is seated over here. Even if one were to turn up from here in 50 years from now, the purpose of the exhibition would have been realized. In honoring them, we are honoring ourselves. Dr. Kasturi Rangan is a product of this institution. He not only studied in this institution, also gave some years of teaching in this institution. This institution is deeply committed to science, to spirituality and environment. Small wonder, people who pass out of the portals of this institution, most of them as they go up in any of these fields, they shine because of the groundwork that has been done in the alma mater when they were around. The Western Ghats is a fragile economic zone. I think most of us who have a fairly little understanding, I'm not talking about deep understanding of Western Ghats, will tell unequivocally that the Western Ghats have to be preserved far more than any other ecosystem anywhere in this country. It has become such a fragile system that cross commercialization all across on the boundaries, starting from Kerala on one side, Karnataka on the other side, Maharashtra on this side, the urgent need for that has never been felt before. A high-powered committee was constituted in the previous UPA regime under the chairmanship of Dr. Kasturi Rangan. Far-reaching changes which will ensure that the ghats are preserved and protected, not for us, but for several generations which will follow us, have been given. I think it is up to the governments of the day to ensure that these are implemented, if not at least lessons be drawn from this and take at least halfway through measures so that these ghats are being preserved. And therefore the person who is presiding over today's destiny is the most right person for the cause. We are beholden to you, sir, for your gracious presence today. He has come all the way from Delhi just to be with us and then go back to Bangalore. Because it is these children which are motivating him that he should come and be part of them. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. And I think that first step we have taken today. However symbolic that step be, however small that step be, a step towards sensitization has begun. May the good Lord in His eternal grace and mercy shed His grace on these people who decorate the stage so that they live long to carry the mission that they have espoused all through their life journey till now. May the Lord also shed His grace on us so that we can draw a leaf from the lives of nobility of these men and make our own lives sublime. May He bless us to be partners in this journey for saving nature and saving ourselves. Thank you.